Now that George Clooney's movie Good Night and Good Luck has been out for a few weeks, our critic at large, John Powers, has some thoughts about the impact of the film, about Edward R. Murrow, CBS, and McCarthyism.
When you live in a politically polarized era, as we do today, too much of the culture is seen through the prism of the immediate historical moment. Last year, for example, Philip Roth's novel, The Plot Against America, was widely viewed as an oblique commentary on America's right-wing drift. It was that, but it was also something much more. Roth working through fears, childhood memories, and his own tricky relationship to his Jewishness. Now comes Good Night and Good Luck, George Clooney's film about the CBS newsman Edward R. Murrow's celebrated battle with Senator Joseph McCarthy. The movie is being treated as a liberal feel-good picture, offering an historical analogy between the Red Scare and what Clooney sees as the climate of fear created by the Bush administration. But while Clooney is an unabashed liberal, only an idiot would think that we're in a new blacklist era. Heck, Sean Penn won an Oscar. Or that condemning McCarthyism is a uniquely liberal position. On the contrary, when Ann Coulter wrote a book defending tail gunner Joe McCarthy, she was whacked by the likes of Bill O'Reilly and the Wall Street Journal. Judging from the response, Good Night and Good Luck's main selling point is Murrow's courage in standing up to McCarthy, a civics lesson about dissent that induces nostalgia for days when men were men and reporters took a stand. Yet what the movie's actually about is a reality far darker and far less triumphant. Its real theme is the inherent debasement of mass news in a commercial culture, a process so powerful that even brave individuals can't stop it. You see, news is a product that must be able to pay for itself. In practice, that means getting ratings, finding corporate sponsors, and newsmen becoming purveyors of fluff. And that's precisely what we see happening in the film. Murrow's show, See It Now, has to fret about alienating its sponsor, Alcoa, when it goes after McCarthy. And Murrow himself must placate CBS by hosting the celebrity interview show, Person to Person. All this is clear when Murrow, played by David Strathairn, talks about the upcoming McCarthy broadcast with the CBS apparatchik, well played by Jeff Daniels.
You know how many person-to-persons you're going to have to do to make up for this?
Judy and her daughter Liza next week.
No. You're interviewing Rin Tin Tin. I'll talk to Mr. Paley. Alcoa won't pay for the ads. And we probably won't either. But nobody will stop you.
How much are the ads?
$3,000.
I'll split it with Fred. He just won't have Christmas presents for his kids this year.
He's a Jew.
Well, don't tell him that. He loves Christmas.
Even when the McCarthy broadcast proves successful, the pressure on Murrow doesn't let up. It doesn't matter that CBS head Bill Paley admires Murrow personally, or that he thinks See It Now is a terrific show, or that he strongly believes McCarthy deserved to be taken down. Paley still pulls See It Now from its regular slot. And why? Its audience is too small, and Paley has a network to run. So he makes a rational business decision. And if he didn't make it, he would be replaced. You see, Murrow may be an icon, but that's how commercial TV works. As it actually happened, Paley didn't shrink See It Now right after the McCarthy broadcast. Clooney has telescoped the time for dramatic effect. No matter. The point still stands. Although Murrow's name was synonymous with serious broadcasting, what CBS really wanted him to do was unserious. To talk to celebrities. You know, ask Liberace about his plans to get married. That's where the ratings were. And Murrow, who enjoyed being a player, may have groused, but he went along with it. That's why, in the end, Good Night and Good Luck may be most valuable as a kind of bleak creation myth. It shows how, from the early days of TV news, a template was put in place that would eventually produce what we have today. Endless coverage of Natalie Holloway, newscasts that cross-promote the latest episode of Desperate Housewives, and Ted Koppel being replaced on Nightline by three hosts, one of whose great credential is that he made a sleazy but highly rated show about Michael Jackson. Like it or not, the age of infotainment was in the cards from the very beginning. And for all his highfalutin speeches about how TV can educate, illuminate, and inspire, Murrow could do nothing to slow it down. Seeing it now, his famed anti-McCarthy broadcast looks less like the flowering of a golden age than a blip on the radar of packaged commercial news. rather like Shepard Smith and Anderson Cooper unexpectedly exploding with anger during Hurricane Katrina, before returning to their usual sleek selves. Small wonder, then, that Murrow always wished his audience good luck. For even back in the 1950s, Clooney's film suggests, a not-so-good night was already descending on TV news.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue and the author of Sore Winners.